Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the Lord, at this our appointed time, it is our blessing, our pleasure, our joy to look to the Word of God together. Today, we're looking at verses in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And so if you are able to, please turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. Praise the Lord. My friends, our contact number is 0782-652-143, and you can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.net. That's www.missionafricajk.net. Praise God. My friends, hear the word of the Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. No one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and those who stumbled are girded with strength. Those who were full have hired themselves out for bread, and the hungry have ceased to hunger. Even the barren has borne seven, and she who has many children has become feeble. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will guard the feet of his saints, but the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by the strength of man, no one shall prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces. From heaven, he will thunder against them. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." Amen. Let us pray, my friends. Father, great sovereign and determiner of all things, great God who governs your creation absolutely at this moment and forever, glory and praise and thanksgiving is yours, Lord, for you lift up the humble and you bring down the proud. We praise you, Lord. You feed the hungry and you cause those who are rich to lack bread. Father, you are great and awesome. You make men poor and you make men rich. We thank you that you bring men into positions of honor and esteem. And then you also, Lord, bring men into dishonor and into positions of disesteem. How great and awesome you are, Lord. We give you praise and we give you thanks for this day. And we ask that you would bless this holy word that we have received today deeply in our hearts, that we might give you glory and, like Hannah, rejoice in you, your power, your great salvation, your ability to do all things well. We give you praise and we give you thanks. Mighty Deliverer, it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. My friends, our focus really today is in verses 6 through 8 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Let me read those verses for you once again. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and brings up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and lifts up. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes and make them inherit the throne of glory. Amen. Praise God. And so, my friends, we see in these verses, in context, that Hannah, who was without a son, prayed to the Lord God of Israel. God Almighty, the only God, the true and living God. And God heard her cry and granted her petition. God gave her a son. The woman who was barren has produced a son, and her son is the prophet-to-be Samuel, a great man of God, a powerful man of God, a great judge in Israel. And so Hannah rejoices in God, and Hannah rejoices that God has heard her cry, that he has given her strength. She says, "My horn is exalted in the Lord." She has been strengthened to conceive and bear a child. Praise God. And in this great salvation, in this blessing, the peace she enjoys, she declares that she is in such a safe place in God's presence that she smiles at her enemies, and that she takes joy in the delivering power of the Almighty, the Holy God. She says, "There is none like him. There is none beside him. There is no other rock. There is no other place of safety. There is no other source of strength and sovereignty or security. There is only one God, the true and living God, the God of Israel, and he is a rock to his people." And so Hannah, blessed Hannah, has been so supremely blessed by God. She has believed in God. She has been weaned from her sin. She has been humbled to the depths of her soul in her salvation. God has brought her into a lowly state of heart, and she has come to see the great wickedness of man's pride. So that she now says in verse 3 that she desires not to hear the words of the proud. She desires not to hear about them. She does not desire to hear arrogant words from the mouth of those who are very proud, because she has come to receive the word of God, the Lord, who is the God of knowledge. And she has come to learn that God will judge men. The actions of men will be weighed. And so this wonderful God has revealed himself to her heart by his Spirit as the God who will humble the proud, the arrogant, and he is also the mighty God who will deliver and lift up from distress, yes, even from poverty, his people. Praise God. She also speaks of the glorious fact here that the mighty, the powerful, are humbled in such a way that their bows are broken. The army of this mighty man are broken, and so they are rendered powerless. And yet those who have stumbled, those in distress and need and difficulty, have been girded with strength, that is, covered with strength, strengthened. Again, Hannah has been strengthened. She has seen, experienced the power of God strengthening her. And the mighty, the strong, she has experienced and seen, they are brought low. Praise God. The full have become hungry, and the hungry have been made full, we see in verse 5. The barren woman, in her distress, has borne 7 children, and she has many children, she says, and yet the woman who has many children has become feeble. And in this observation of God's workings, his determinations in life, Hannah rejoices in God's personal determinations and dealings with her. She has observed the ways of the Lord. She has been made wise unto salvation. She has come to understand the ways of God with men, and she rejoices in God. Praise the Lord. God has truly been good to her. She has been blessed. And so Hannah exalts in this song of praise, in this prayer, in God, and she exalts in God's salvation and in God's sovereignty. Excuse me. We see in Ephesians 1:11 that God is the sovereign. He is the determiner. He is the first cause. He uses secondary causes, but he is the God who has decreed or determined whatever occurs. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 1:11, let me turn there. Wonderful truth that is so comforting and helpful for us. Ephesians 1:11. I am often helped and strengthened, as I am at this very moment, in remembering that God is sovereign. It says here in verse 11 that, praise God, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Praise God. And so God is declared here to be the sovereign who works all things after the counsel of his will. Once again, my friends, Hannah rejoices in God's sovereignty. Hannah rejoices in God's decree. Praise the Lord. And we see in the London Baptist Confession of Faith helpful thoughts about God's decree. Let us define that this morning simply as God's determination of whatever occurs in his creation. His decree, God's determination of whatever occurs in his creation. Excuse me. The London Baptist Confession of Faith. God hath decreed in himself from all eternity by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably, all things, whatsoever comes to pass. Yet, so as thereby is God neither the author of sin, nor hath fellowship with any therein, nor is violence offered to the will of the creature, nor yet is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established, in which appears his wisdom in disposing all things, and power and faithfulness in accomplishing his decree. Praise God. And so, God determines whatever occurs. God has no fellowship with evil. He is not the author of evil. But in his holy counsel, he has freely determined all things, whatsoever comes to pass, that is, whatsoever occurs in the creation. Amen. And so, Hannah, blessed by this awesome, sovereign, delivering God, rejoices in God's personal dealings with her. Amen. And we see in verses 6 through 8 these truths, my friends. The sovereign Lord determines and acts to, first of all, kill and give life. Secondly, he brings men low and he raises them up. Praise the Lord. And so we see that the Lord kills and the Lord makes alive. Men die because the sovereign Lord has brought them to death. Truly, there are secondary causes at work, but the first cause, the source of all things, God the Creator, who has created and who governs the creation, who brings it to fulfill his purposes, is the God who alone gives life and who takes life. Notice the order in verse 6. It is the Lord who kills and the Lord who makes alive. We see this to communicate to us that the very fact that we are alive has has come obviously from the hand of God, but the very fact that we will die, that many have died, also comes from the very hand of the sovereign Lord. We at times think that death, an enemy, and truly it is an enemy to us, comes from the evil one, that the evil one controls our deaths. But the scripture tells us clearly here and in many other verses that that is not the case. That is not true. It is the Lord God Almighty who determines whether men live or whether men die. The Lord kills and the Lord gives life. Now again, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we, like Hannah, are led to rejoice in God's determinations, that God kills, God makes alive. Amen. And so the very condition of life, that is, whether we live or die, or whether we are in trouble or in times of ease, we often call that a time of blessing, this condition is in the hands of the great, awesome God. We also find here in these verses that God in his providence is working to bring men low and to raise them up. He kills, he gives life, he creates, he gives eternal life, praise God, to those who believe in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and repent of their sins. And he also raises the poor from the dust and lifts the beggar from the ash heap. Praise God. Now, remarkably, we see that God, in his great sovereign power, moves and works in the lives of the poor and in the lives of beggars to bring them, move them, bring them up into positions of honor. He says that princes will welcome the poor and the beggar. He sets them in positions among princes, and he makes them inherit the throne of glory, of glory, or if you will, a glorious throne, a glorious kingdom. Now, this is absolutely amazing, and to really consider a bit more fully Hannah's joy and her observation of God's sovereignty and of his great work of saving her and delivering her, bringing the boy Samuel to her, we must see that God is constantly working in human lives in the very same way. He is constantly working to lift up the poor and to bring down to the grave. He is constantly working to raise the beggar from the ash heap, and he is constantly working to give life, to take life. He is constantly working to bring men into a different condition of life. He is determining in his providence, in his sovereignty, the estate of men, the positions of men, and the status of men. Praise God. Now, it's often said, too, that poverty is a curse which is controlled by Satan. But you see, my friends, that the scripture refutes that. Poverty, being poor, is a condition determined by the Lord God Almighty. Amen. The first cause. He is the God who makes poor and makes rich there in verse 7. Amen. And so we must rejoice to see this great and powerful acting of God in the lives of people. It is a source of joy to see God's great blessing to Hannah. And it is a great source of joy to us to see God's blessing in our lives, in the lives of fellow Christians, in the lives of the saints, in fact, in the lives of all people. God is constantly working to bring men into a position of humility of heart. He humbles, and he is also constantly working to lift up the humble. He humbles the proud and he lifts up the humble. This is a great principle that we see declared throughout Scripture. And Psalm 107 tells us that the wise man will notice this, observe this, and that he will understand and have knowledge and wisdom in the ways of God. Praise the Lord. And so, my friend, think about God's dealing in your life for just a moment. Isn't it absolutely remarkable that the God, the Lord, who kills and makes alive, who brings down to the grave and who brings up, praise God, he is also the God of resurrection, the Lord, the resurrection and the life. He is the God who makes poor and makes rich. And so your position or status, your condition in life today, ultimately is determined by the Lord God Almighty, my friend. And it is the greatest wisdom for us to humble ourselves under his mighty hand and to rejoice in him and his will, his determination from us, and know that he is the great God who lifts up the humble and who humbles the proud. Now, this gives us great room for hope. If indeed we are in a humble condition today, if indeed we are poor, if we struggle with poverty, we can look to the Lord with joy and trust him, because he is the God who can raise the poor from the dust and lift the beggar from the ash heap to set them among princes. Praise God. Nothing is impossible for our God. Now, this is not an unconditional promise to every poor believer that they will be made wealthy and rich, but it is a principle that God gives us, a principle of his very nature. He is sovereign in these things. He is the determiner of man's condition. And this is an indication of his general ways of dealing with men. And so whether we are poor or whether we are rich, we must humble ourselves with joy and worship and give glory to the great and living God and thank him for his determination in our lives. There are many, many benefits that come to the poor man that do not come to the rich man. Jesus said the gospel is preached to the poor and they shall receive it. The needy man, made needy in the providential actings of God, is much more likely to be saved from his sins and to receive the greatest possible blessing, the greatest exaltation, to be saved from his sins and lifted up into glory in due time, into the very presence of God, his Father, in eternal salvation, the blessing of eternal life. That is an awesome benefit that comes to the poor. Praise God. And so there is struggle in life for all, the rich and the poor. But the poor have this benefit and other benefits. They are generally less likely to cling to the things of this world and to look up to God, to think of God, to call out to God that he would meet their needs. Blessed are the lowly in heart, Jesus says. Blessed are the poor who have the gospel preached to them. Amen. And so we can thank God for his determination of our position, our status in life, the condition of our lives. And we can surrender to God's determination and his sovereignty in these things. Praise God. Now, that's not to minimize the truth that poverty involves a great struggle, that there is distress in poverty. And of course, he is the God who lifts men out of distress. He helps men out of their troubles, as we see in these verses. And so we simply surrender to the will of God in our circumstances and pray for God's deliverance. And amazingly, there are many who are listening today who, like Hannah, will trust in Christ and love Christ and live in holiness for Christ and find Hannah's blessing, that God will bring great deliverance to them We have a great example of this in the Bible in the man Job. He was a very wealthy and rich man, as appointed by God to riches, but he then was humbled powerfully by God, the first cause, working through Satan, the second cause. He became impoverished. He lost his family. And at one point, Job sits on an ash heap. And yet God works to lift Job up. He remains a true believer, a man humbled in his heart. And God then restores Job's many blessings. In fact, he restores his family to him. He has more children. And the scripture indicates that his daughters were the most beautiful of the young women. And so, praise God. What an awesome, great God he is. We can note God's providential dealings with us in these ways, my friends, and rejoice in God's care for us in his dealings with us. Praise the Lord. Psalm 72:12 says, behold, let me find the right verse here. Psalm 72:12, for he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. 13 and 14, he will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And so God looks upon the humble, the needy, with this grace, with this measure of favor. The man who has no one to help him, the man who is oppressed by the violent, is redeemed by the great and living God. Amen. And we find, my friends, in Psalm 113, another section of verses here that reveal to us, verses 7 through 9, this wonderful acting of God. He raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may seat him with princes, with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. God is awesome in his grace. God is awesome in his power and in his ability. And we find in Psalm 107, I alluded to these verses earlier, but let's just look at these verses. The glorious truth that God is the great God who delivers in his mercy, in his goodness. He is the God who redeems from the hand of the enemy. He gathers people out of the lands from east and west, north and south. He comes to dwell with a people that there, it says in Psalm 107, wander in the wilderness, who come into great distress. They're hungry and thirsty, and they cry out to God, the one God, and he delivers them out of their distresses. And he brings them into a city for a dwelling place. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So that the psalmist calls upon men to give thanks to God for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He is the merciful God who brings men out of prison, out of darkness, out of trouble, out of the shadow of death, and delivers them from their troubles. Praise God. He breaks their chains in pieces. He is the God who delivers and heals the sick. He saves men out of their distresses. He delivers them from their destructions. He is the great God who is working in his providential way in the depths of the ocean. And he is the God who controls the storms that come and rock the ship on the mighty ocean, so that men are humbled and in their fear stagger to and fro like drunken men at their wit's end. But they call out to God in their distress, and God delivers him as he calms the storm. The waves become still, and God brings them to their desired haven. Praise God. Once again, the psalmist calls us to thank God for his delivering powers that he is to be exalted in the assembly of the people and praised in the company of the elders. He is the God who turns rivers into a wilderness, beginning in verse 33, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of those who dwell in it. He turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. Awesome God, working constantly. Praise God, lifting up, delivering the humble, humbling, bringing low the proud. Verse 39 says, when they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness, the compassionate covenant love of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. And so, awesome observation here too, that the righteous will see God's providential actings, rejoice in them, and yet the iniquitous will be silent at this witness of the great, true, living God that they deny when they see his providential actings in the world. So quickly, our time is going, but a quick application today. Because he humbles the proud and lifts up the humble, praise God, we must, as we see so clearly, turn from sin, trust in the Lord, rejoice in him and his determinations in our lives. Yes, the painful and the difficult, those conditions which are easier, that we would more think of as happy, rejoice in all determinations of God, humble ourselves, be faithful worshipers of God, knowing this, that in due time, as he will exalt the humble. He will lift up the humble. And so, my friends, let us now pray and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of our God, knowing that in due time, he will lift us up as he sees fit in his wisdom and power. Lord, thank you for this glorious truth that we have seen today. Touch our hearts by it, Lord. God, give us grace. Forgive our complaining. Lead us to rejoice in your determination. Just the painful and the difficult, our distresses, as we cry out to you for relief, Lord, knowing that you will deliver your faithful people. You will hear our cries. And just as Hannah saw a great deliverance, you will bring us, each one of us who are your people, into a condition of deliverance and blessing. Ultimately, Lord, you will exalt us to your very hand in glory through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we humble ourselves before you, knowing that we shall be exalted in due time. Lord, thank you for your determinations in our lives. Thank you for determining in your awesome decree the condition of life, the status of life, and the positions we have in life. Thank you that our deaths are not to be attributed to the enemy, God. He has no power to kill us. You alone have the power, the ability to take our lives, because you are the God who kills and makes alive. You are the God who brings down to the grave and raises up from the grave. You are the God who makes poor and makes rich. You bring low and you lift up. Praise you, Lord. We give you glory and we give you thanks this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord of glory bless you.